Grace be unto you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today's sermon title is, would you read it with me? Taking a Stand. Based on Daniel 3 lesson Everett read, the children's sermon was about, hear these few verses again. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied to him, O King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand. But even if he does not, we want you to know, your majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the image of gold that you have set up. This morning, I invite you to find your handout in the bulletin, find the sermon outline there, and follow along with me as we share the message on taking a stand. The story is told about an old man, a young boy, and their old favorite mule whose name was Heine. They left their farm to walk into the village to sell Heine at the market. And as they started out, the old man rode on the back of the mule, and the boy walked alongside. But soon they passed the country church just as the women's group was coming out, and one of the women said out loud, just look at that selfish old man riding on the back of that mule and making the boy walk. So the man got off Heine the mule, and the boy started riding. As they continued their journey, they passed by the schoolhouse. As the teacher and students were coming out for recess, the teacher saw the procession and said to his students, children, just look at that lazy old boy riding on the back of that mule and making that poor old man walk. So the boy moved up further on the mule, and the man got up and rode behind him. A little further in their journey, they passed the country store, not too far from the market. Some men stuck their head out the window and said, look at those two ignorant guys riding that mule all the way to town. By the time they get to the market, that mule is going to be so worn out, he'll be worth nothing. No one will buy him. So they both got off Heine the mule, and they tried to carry him across a bridge to the market. Trouble was that day the bridge was wet and slippery, and they lost their footing, and they pitched Heine the mule over the edge of the bridge to the rocks below, and he was killed. The end. The moral of the story? Don't live your life trying to please everybody, because if you do, you'll end up losing your Heine. Every person today, including each of us here this morning, ought to stand for something. At some point in each of our lives, we ought to look into the face of the opinions of others, in the face of that deceptive creature called compromise, and declare this far and no farther. How many times in our lives are we tempted to seek the approval of others or to fit in with the majority instead of taking a stand on the truth and upon our convictions? The biblical record is a continuing plea for God's people to stand resolute on God's truth, whatever the consequences might be. Joshua, the general of Israel's troops, said to Israel in Joshua 24:15, listen to these words, if it is disagreeable in your sight to serve the Lord, then choose for yourselves whom you will serve, whether the gods which your father served beyond the river or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. On Mount Carmel, The prophet Elijah said to the people of God who are being tempted to worship and follow the false god Baal, Elijah said this in 1 Kings 18. How long will you hesitate between two opinions? If the Lord is God, follow Him. But if Baal, then follow him. And our Lord Jesus said in the book of Revelation, chapter 3, I know your deeds, that you are neither hot nor cold. I wish that you were either hot or cold, but because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. Taking a stand. That's what we're talking about today. Taking a stand can be risky business. The account in our Old Testament reading and the sermon text for today from Daniel chapter 3 tells us taking a stand for God's truth can be risky business. In this text, we meet three young men who took a stand and found themselves cast into a fiery furnace. One day, the prophet Daniel records, Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, was caught up in an exaggerated sense of his own self-importance. He decided that he was God, and the people under his rule should worship him. So he had constructed a statue built in his own image, 90 feet tall, 9 feet wide, just imagine, and he made the proclamation that the sound of his specially chosen music, every person in his kingdom, whatever they would be doing, must bow down at the sound of that music and worship his man-made image. Whoever would not obey the king's edict would be thrown into a specially crafted blazing furnace. Well, the people bowed, and the people worshiped. Except for three young men, three Hebrew boys who had been taken captive into Babylon. They were serving in some capacity in the royal household. Their names, as the children well knew from Sunday school lessons, were Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. But some sneaky, wimpy tattletale saw these three boys and that they would not bow, and went to the king with these words, O great king, when the rest of your loving and loyal subjects bow down to your image that we just think is really neat, these three boys remain standing. And in a rage, the king orders them to be brought before him. The consequences of their actions will be severe. My friends, when we take a stand today that testifies to God's truth, but does not go along with the majority, we must be prepared for the consequences. Jesus' own death on Calvary, on the cross, showed us clearly that God's truth will stand, no matter how aggressive is the attack of evil. God's goodness and righteousness and truth will stand when evil finally falls. Evil may crucify the truth on Friday, but make no mistake about it, Sunday is coming. And with Sunday, God is able to raise the truth and demonstrate His eternal victory. I have a confession to make this morning. The older I get, and the longer I'm a pastor, I know this following to be true. It's time for those of us who call ourselves God's people to get angry. It's time for each of us to take a stand in this wishy-washy wicked world. Where in your life will you take a stand? Will it be at school, when so many of the other kids mindlessly follow the crowd doing stupid, if not ungodly, things, and you must stand alone to do what you know is right and what God calls you to do? Will it be at work, when so many of the other workers mindlessly follow the crowd doing or saying things you know are false or ungodly, and you must stand alone, even though it might bring the ridicule of others? Will it be with your extended family, or even the neighbors, when so many of them mindlessly follow the crowd, proclaiming unrighteousness, even making fun of that which is godly, even making fun of you, and you must stand alone? Well, when the three Hebrew boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, stood before the king, Nebuchadnezzar, guess what? They stood alone. He confronted them about their disobedience to his clear command to bow before his godlike statue. He had the power, but they had the truth. He had all the power to let them live if he bowed down, and to put them to death if they refused. They stood before him with no earthly power. What they had was God's truth. We read these verses in Daniel 3. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego replied, "King Nebuchadnezzar, we do not need to defend ourselves before you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, the God we serve is able to deliver us from it, and he will deliver us from your majesty's hand." They said, "We know that God is able." But I'm convinced that many of us today really don't believe God is able. We'd spend less time worrying if we believe that God is able. We'd spend less time setting people straight and telling people off if we believe that God is able. We wouldn't give up on ourselves or give up on others in our lives if we believe that God is able. But when we know and trust that God, as he has revealed himself to us in the person and work of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Savior, when we know and trust that, then God, the Holy Spirit, can give us the strength to take holy risks. We may not know how the king will react when we take our stand. We may not know how the crowd at work or school or the neighborhood will react when we take our stand. We may not know how our relatives will view us when we take our stand. But this one thing we do know: God is able. In Jesus' name, take a stand and you'll discover God is able. Well, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego stood before King Nebuchadnezzar and they continued to speak. Listen to their words. "Your Majesty, even if God does not deliver us, even if God does not deliver us, we want you to know, Your Majesty, that we will not serve your gods or worship the idol of gold you've set up." Wow. What they said was this: if God is able and our cause is in service to God's truth, then it is possible even for death to lose its power over us. You see, it's because death has lost its power and sting that Daniel could face the lion's den, that the early Christians could face being thrown into the Roman Colosseum to their death, that Paul could face Caesar Nero's chopping block, and our Lord Jesus Christ faced for you and for me the cross of Calvary. You see, a stand for God's truth, founded upon a God who is able, strengthens us to remain standing, even when there's a possibility that everything won't turn out the way we want it to. When King Nebuchadnezzar heard the witness of the three boys and saw that they had taken their stand, he ordered them thrown into the blazing furnace. And now comes God's miracle. The flames kept burning, but God took the heat out of the flames. Could it be for us that God will allow us to be thrown into the fire, but that He will also take the heat out of the flames? That is to say, we may not escape the consequences for standing up for God's truth, but He will see us through the flames. There's an absolutely wonderful old gospel song that speaks about this event in the Holy Scripture. And the catchy chorus is repeated again and again. I confess it's an old country gospel song. It's a bluegrass song. And the chorus goes like this, speaking of these three boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. It says, they wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. They wouldn't bend, they wouldn't bow, they wouldn't burn. And what did the king see when he looked into the furnace? Another miracle. He didn't see three young men, but four walking around unburned by the flames. Listen to the text. The king says, did we not cast three men bound into the midst of the fire? Look, I see four men loose, and they are not hurt. And the fourth one's form is like the Son of a God. Wow. What did the king see? Who did the king see? Who could this be but our pre-incarnate Lord Himself? That is, our Lord Jesus Christ, before He became born of the Virgin Mary at Christmas and became a man. He came to be with those three faithful Hebrew boys in that furnace. He was that fourth man. He was that one whom the Babylonian king declared to be. His form was like a son of a God. And because of him, the king had these three boys released from the furnace. My friends, you do not face the fiery furnace alone when you take a stand. When your Lord Jesus went to the cross of Calvary for you, there for you, He took a stand. He stood against all alone the powers of sin and death and the devil. And He rose in victory over all of them. And it's because He stood for us and He stood in our place that now we can stand before an almighty and holy God, forgiven sinners, beloved sons and daughters who will one day join Evelyn Tweedy and Ron Adams, stand before Almighty God forever in heaven. And now in all areas of our lives, it is our privilege, as that old hymn told us, to stand up for Jesus. God grant that. For Jesus' sake, Amen.